Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tim from Beard Mountain, and welcome to the Beards Next Door podcast. My co-host Corey is out on a family vacation, so I am flying solo tonight, but not totally solo. I've got my really, really good buddy, Dr. Juan Adams, in the house tonight. We're going to talk all things essential oils. We're going to talk beards. We're going to talk relationships, and we're going to talk, of course, what he does for a living, which is a doctor.
Yes.
You're an allergist, right? Is that what it's called? An actual allergist?
That's correct. Allergist, immunologist.
Immunologist?
Immunologist. I think we're all immunologists, but allergies, like our advertising flag.
What do you mean by we're all immunologists?
Well, our field is the study of immunology, study of the immune system, and allergies are a part of the... part of the problem with the immune system just gets hyper responsive to things that are innocuous, harmless.
Sure, literally harmless. I sometimes yell at myself and pound my chest when my allergies flare up. I'm like, how come these people aren't dealing with the cotton falling and I'm having a miserable day?
It's so nice not dealing with
it. You know, my nose is running as bad as you get a bloody nose. Like, it's just pouring out, and I just, like, you know, do the snot rocks, you know. I do that 4,000 times a day, and my nose is raw. Allergies make my life.
What's your worst season of the year for your allergies?
Spring.
Tree pollen allergies.
Yeah, the fall isn't really that bad. Dealing with the leaves, you know, because I'm outside, obviously, every day for work. But the fall isn't bad, but spring's horrible.
Yeah, weeds are more prominent during the fall season.
Yeah, there's such stupid trees and the bushes blooming.
Ugh. That's too bad.
I know I'm allergic to pollen because when I get stung by a bee... gets really bad, but I'm not actually allergic to the bee. I'm allergic to the pollen on the stinger.
That's a very interesting conclusion. I've never heard anybody come to that.
Yeah.
I'd say you're more responsive to the venom.
Probably. I swell up like a mofo. Like, if he stung me on my neck, it'd probably be game over.
It could be.
You've
never become short of
breath. Yeah, I don't want a Macaulay Culkin hit, you know, from My Girl.
Oh.
When he got stung by all the bees and he died.
Yeah.
I think it's not funny, but...
That's true, yeah. He did die in there.
At least it wasn't based on real life.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
So, bee sting allergy is pretty sad.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, back to the... where did we get off? Oh, immunology.
Immunology, yes. The study of the immune system. So, yeah, we treat immune deficiencies also. Primary immune deficiencies.
Primary. Okay.
Not secondary immune deficiencies. Well, I see some second. Not acquired immune deficiencies.
So, what's considered primary?
The boy in the bubble.
Oh, okay.
Okay, everyone knows what that is.
Yeah.
Severe combined immunodeficiency.
Yikes.
Yes. You don't want that one. That's a tough one to deal with.
Are there actual people in real life who are in a bubble?
Not anymore, because we have ways of treating things now.
Like, people literally can't go outside and they have, like, purified air in their house, stuff like that. There's nothing. No one's that bad.
No, not really. You know, people can go outside when they have immune deficiencies.
Sure.
You can live fairly close to a normal life in a lot of cases.
Okay.
With treatment.
Okay. Yes. What does treatment include? Now, of
course,
depends
on the immune deficiency.
The cases are all different.
They're all different. But for many of them, it's giving them immunoglobulin, so replacing the antibodies that they're missing.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That's sweet. I enjoyed listening to you talk about it, like, your forte, right? For those of you who don't know, Dr. Juan is, like, the best allergist in our city, the state. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, don't you have a plaque saying that?
I do have a plaque that says...
Exactly. Yes, he's way too modest, but I will say that for him. Actually, how I met was because my kid has... Well, we thought he was allergic to everything because his skin flares up. And, you know, you would barely touch him and his skin poofs. So it was like, he's got hives. He's allergic to everything. So we took him in to an allergy doctor, which we ended up with Dr. Juan Adams, and... We were assuming we were going to have to do an allergy test, and then lo and behold, he's like, oh, no, he's just got this.
Did you think I was crazy when I said he didn't have allergies?
I was glad, because I grew up getting probed with all that stuff and all the poikes, the pokes, and I'm allergic to 1,000 things outside, but I exposed myself to I'm allergic to grass, and that's what I do for a living with my other businesses. I mow lawns, and obviously I'm not dying, so.
Yeah, it's fun. I see so many people that have problems with hives like your son did, and... They think they found the world's worst allergist when I tell them that I don't think they're allergic to anything.
Yeah,
and why am I getting hives everywhere?
Call you a quack. And,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might think it, but I say it for them. I'm like, you think I'm crazy? I know.
That guy's lying. I call BS on that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. But
yeah.
So yeah, about the. So what differs like between like dermatology and an allergist? Now I know allergist like involves like you're breathing in.
They really focus on the skin.
But you focus a lot on skin reactions.
We do a lot of skin reactions, hypersensitivity to skin reactions. We think we're better at treating some of the things that we treat because, well, if you think about it, we would be because we treat fewer skin conditions than they do.
Yeah.
They treat many, we treat fewer, so we're very good at treating the ones that we see all the time.
And you guys like refer patients back and forth, I assume, if you think this person
fairly,
needs to see
fairly frequently.
See a dermatologist as opposed to an allergist.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We really need, I think, well, sorry to the dermatologists out there, but I think we need dermatologists mainly for skin biopsies. If I don't know what's wrong with their skin, they need to see a dermatologist
okay.
for a biopsy. Or if it's a condition I don't treat, I just send them.
Sure, yeah. Sure. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what basically what we're getting at and why Dr. Juan, I chose him for this episode is because we focus here on using only 100% essential oils because growing a beard comes from your hair follicles, which originate at the skin. And we believe and we tell our users that keeping your skin clean and healthy is like the base. It's like the foundation of your home. That's the foundation for growing a beard. I mean, if your skin
have good skin.
Yeah, if your skin is crappily taken care of, you're not going to have a very good beard, you know. Now, excuse me, I will say that sometimes that isn't always true. You know, if you look at like a homeless person, for example, you know, they haven't been able to shave. They are still growing a
beard.
You
know, I was in Seattle once and I saw a homeless lady. She had the best looking skin, the best nails,
wow.
the best hair.
Maybe it's the rain.
I think that she was an undercover agent, but
I bet she was a MI6.
She could have been something.
FBI.
But she had dirty clothes under a dirty blanket, but her hair, her skin, her nails, her makeup was perfect.
Sure.
Interesting. But she had good skin.
So what I'm getting at is you can have it, but it's not like healthy. We want healthy, luscious beards, right? So we're focusing on taking care of the skin. That's where
it's true.
That's where Dr. Juan comes in.
You have to have good, well-conditioned skin.
Sure.
That's where your hair is growing from. Hair is a biopolymer.
Sure.
Interesting.
So lots of oils have like anti-inflammatory properties, right? How does that play into keeping the skin clean or assisting with keeping the skin clean? Or does it have a different play?
Well, I think that the a lot of the health purported health claims from essential oils are, you know, some have evidence to support them.
Sure.
You know, but a lot of that is going to depend on the individual. Some people are going to be hypersensitive to some of the oil that's the fragrance that's emitted from it, you know. And so, you know, I definitely see plenty of people like that, but I have, you know, stories, what we would call anecdotal evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, earlier tonight, I was mentioning, you know, I have a patient that I saw that just, I could not get him better. I couldn't get his cough better. I couldn't get him, his respiratory symptoms under control. And I tried for a few months and he just decided to forget everything I said and started using essential oils and he got better. It was a relief for me to have a patient be much better.
Sure.
To be essentially healed from what he was dealing with. But and I can't remember what he used, but there are stories of how the essential oils do help. But where I think the essential oil helps the most personally is conditioning my skin so that it's not so dry, flaky, and itchy underneath the beard. It really helps the beard be softer, I
yes.
think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, of course...
It looks better, shinier.
Yeah, and of course, that's what we've played on, too, is the fact that there's been jillions of studies that prove that these oils do that, you know. I just wanted to touch on getting an actual doctor's opinion, you know, whether you haven't done the hard research, you haven't put your patients through this stuff.
No.
It was just literally looking at the evidence that essential oils help skin. And one, you know, hydration of your skin is really good too. Like golden jojoba or jojoba, which is one of our carrier oils, is like a renowned hydrator, right? So keeping your skin hydrated, because as you spoke of dry skin and that flaky skin, that's just miserable. I mean, that's what a lot of guys, that's where you get the beard itch too. That's why a lot of guys quit.
Yeah.
You know, after the first month of trying to grow a beard, because they don't know about products, or they're too proud to try a beauty product, because it actually is a beauty product. You know, it's a beauty product for men.
That's an interesting way to think of
notoriously,
it.
Notoriously, men have not handsome product, a beauty product. Men have not bought beauty products. That's a woman thing to do, and that's, we're still trying to break through, like getting men to big burly, you know, wrench turners. Like, dude, if you've got a beard, take care of it. You know, so.
Well, you know, I was excited when I first found beard oils.
Sure.
Because it did feel good to take care of myself a little bit more than I was before.
So, yeah, let's go on that. What made you very first even try a beard oil? It wasn't our company. I know that. What made you try the first one?
Well, it wasn't as if I went out looking for it.
Okay.
My son wanted a butterfly knife.
Oh, okay.
He wanted a butterfly knife.
Just to play around with.
Yeah. And so I was looking for a butterfly knife. Ended up finding a butterfly comb, and that one thing led to another, and then I found beard oils.
Sweet.
And I didn't really even know they existed. I didn't know that it was something that people would
use. The amount of companies that are out there now, the amount of literature that's out there, and people still have no idea what beard products are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I started, I was really hesitant to get it, honestly. Hesitant because it didn't seem like a manly thing to do.
Yeah, it isn't.
It didn't seem very manly.
It's not.
Yeah.
And picturing yourself putting a couple drops in your hand and then rubbing it on your face, like, what the hell am I doing? Right? So go on.
Yeah. No, it's, but, well, I got it, and I decided to get one that I thought would be not very, wouldn't have a lot of scent to it, something not very noticeable. And I got it, and I got bored with it. And I wanted something that had a little bit more scent, a little bit more, something that just made me feel better, because that's what a lot of these do. They actually, you put them in and you feel better. You feel cleaner. Your skin feels better.
Dude, like our original flavor, for example, I say flavor a lot, but it's a scent.
Don't eat it.
Don't eat it. You can ingest oils. You can ingest them. But we don't recommend that. They're mainly topical, right?
Yes.
So anyway, our original, it's most potent. That's the oil you smell the most is peppermint, and peppermint is huge right now. Like, lots of people are they're ingesting peppermint, and it opens up your airways, so you can breathe better during physical activities.
Yeah, I have heard this.
There's a company out right now called the something drops, and you just put the dropper right in your mouth, and it's peppermint, which is diluted, of course, because peppermint's a hot oil. So if you put
a hot oil is
literally, as it sounds, it will almost give you a burn or a reaction on your skin. That's why like,
this is interesting,
all of these beard oils have carriers, right? So you have to dilute a hot oil into a carrier oil. Grapeseed, argan, and jojoba are our three carriers.
The difference between those three? Why, what are the properties of those three that make them more useful?
So
versus another. Okay.
They're literally in, like, the most layman terms, they're literally all three just their own carriers.
Yeah.
They're all for hydration.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The golden jojoba is the thickest of them all. Argan is has more liquidity. But that's how you get the thicker oils probably have more carrier in them.
Yeah.
Jojoba and grapeseed are more so.
And they don't have their own scent to them.
No, those three carriers are, for the most part, unscented. Yeah, I mean, if you want to get really technical, they might smell like a barely nutty, because grapeseed originates from some form of a nut, a grape tree. But regardless, they're unscented. But the peppermint, it sucks into your nostrils. You know, and another thing to do with peppermint, if you have a headache, is rub peppermint right on your temples.
Yes.
Goes away.
Peppermint is one of the essential oils that does have actually some good evidence.
It has lots of literature.
Based study behind it.
Yes.
For treatment in medicine. So we have, in pediatric studies, it has been shown to be very well, not just for pediatric, but, sure. but for adults. It has been shown to be a good anti-nausea, anti-emetic, as we would call it.
Oh, so you're feeling nauseous?
Absolutely.
Where do you apply it?
You would take it in your mouth. So like a peppermint, mint, you know, some kind of...
Dude, crazy that you say that, because back in college, when we would be drinking heavily, if you get the bed spins, pop in a Mentos mint, and you stop getting bed spins.
What are the bed spins?
When you lay down and your head starts spinning, or head spins, whichever.
I was studying in college.
Yeah, I know you were, right? Dude, yeah, for real, just pop a Mentos mint, and the head spins go away.
Huh.
So I wonder if that has to do with the peppermints. I think the probably smell, does. You know? Yes. I wonder if it's just because it's strong, or if peppermint has an actual property to it.
There is a property. I forget the chemical signaling behind
That's cool, though. See, there is actual studies
on it. Yeah, there are. There,
essential yes. oils.
Yeah, so I do get my patients asking me about essential oils and how I think that they fit into... treatment of allergic disease.
Sure.
There are some that are recognized as anti-inflammatory. They do have anti-inflammatory properties.
Yes,
there are some. But the fact of the matter is that we just haven't really done a whole lot of research, not good robust research into many
like
of these.
Because
there are claims for each.
Well,
performing some kind of function. And so this peppermint was really researched.
Sure.
And found, okay, yes, this actually does have a good therapeutic effect. And so they just, we would need to do more to find out what these essential oils can do.
Yeah.
You know, for example, what we do in allergy, one of the main things we do is, allergen immunotherapy. So there's this very old principle that with homeopathic medicine, so it's kind of this voodoo medicine, you know, ancient medicine, not really voodoo, but
yeah, witch oil.
So if this herb or plant causes you to get a fever, if you have it, if you get it into you somehow, then, you know, the thinking was that, well, if you get a little bit of it, it should help take away a fever. And same for, you know, many other things. And so these tinctures would be made.
Yep.
And to treat various things. And so that was something that's not, you know, very evidence-based. But that's how where immunotherapy comes from in a way. Because if you're allergic to something, we can make an extract of that thing and inject it into you,
right?
And to make you not allergic
exactly
to that anymore,
why,
or much less allergic.
Exactly why we need rattlesnake venom,
yes,
in order to combat when people get bit by a rattlesnake, yes. Right? It's like fighting fire with fire.
In a way, that's a little different, you know.
Sure.
Somebody who has antibodies. The antibodies.
Exactly, but to make an anti-venom, you do need venom, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of the same theory, right?
Very, very, very close. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's good information.
Yeah, and so with the essential oils, there is some. I do know of the eucalyptol type of oils.
Yeah,
that has been shown to have respiratory properties that are helpful in COPD and asthma. In some studies, it isn't to the point where it's become any standard therapy.
No, I mean, let's be real. Big Pharma isn't going out.
No,
he isn't straying away from pills anytime soon. You know, we know that. So. Back to when you first started using it, you fell in love with it, but you wanted something with a
different
scent. So you tried like 40
different ones.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Tried different ones. This is before I met you.
Yeah, of course.
And I tried different ones and, you know, read some of the ingredients on these, and I thought, what in the heck?
Yeah.
Who would put pepper, some pepper oil?
Black pepper.
Black pepper, that was it. Yeah, black pepper. I'm like, what?
I still have not used that one. I can say that.
Yeah, just these, just tobacco and all these other ones and just crazy sounding ingredients. And
yeah.
The
thing is, I would love to use tobacco and leather, but we pride ourselves on only using essential oils. And unfortunately, those are fragrances, right?
Black pepper is?
No.
Oh.
I haven't actually looked at that one, but tobacco. Tobacco is a fragrance oil.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Same
that.
With leather is a fragrance oil. I don't think anyone has extracted oil from the tobacco leaf.
Hmm.
And interesting. Yeah, I think if they did, it'd be super expensive, right?
Wow. I guess
because
so.
Tobacco is not cheap. No. It was like $8 for a pack of cigarettes at the store. Yeah, I don't smoke, but I've seen the signs, right? So yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So let's talk your wife. She was on board with the beard. You've never had one before the last couple of years. What's the situation there?
Well, I had a goatee, you know.
Okay.
The baby beard.
Yeah, for sure.
And do people call it a baby beard? No, nobody does.
People use that term, like me, since I cut my big beard off now. I have a baby beard, but okay. I just tell them to suck it.
You know, the reason why I grew my beard was mainly because I was too busy studying. I was too busy with work to shave every morning. And so then I thought, well, I'll grow kind of a stubbly kind of beard. You know, it's not, you know, like I haven't shaved for 2 days kind of a look. But longer than that and not really long.
Yeah.
Right now it's very short for me right now.
Yeah. See, I
don't know how many inches this would be classified as.
I would call it 3, to be honest.
Three? This is 3?
Well, before, we got a tape measure, but I bet it's 3.
Before, I mean, I used to be brief, you know, it used to cover down to here.
Yeah.
I know nobody out there can see, but my first button on my shirt.
Yeah, and that's we use that as an official length. Is it a first button length or is it a second?
Oh. Yeah, so I used to.
You cannot choke yourself with that first button all day, right? If your beard covers it, just leave it unbuttoned. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, so I'd cover that down here.
Yep.
And, but I actually went to go trim my beard up the other day in a hurry and. Got a little bit too much in a hurry and gave myself a little extra short of a beard. I had to even it out.
I like the shape.
But it makes it easier during this pandemic, during these dangerous times of the pandemic when I have to wear masks on my beard.
Yeah.
It helps.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that.
I have to wear a mask every day.
I know you
do. So my beard gets in the way and often inhale a hair from my beard with the mask under there.
Speaking on that, do you think masks will be permanent for you?
I don't think so.
You don't think masks are going to be permanent in the doctor's office?
Probably not.
Now, of course, they're permanent in like surgical areas and stuff, right?
Well, yeah.
But do you think in regular doctor's office visits, do you think they're ever going to go away?
I don't think they should be universal, that everybody needs to wear a mask in the doctor's office. What I do think is that anybody who's sick should wear a mask. I've felt that way far before our friend Corona came along.
100%.
Yeah.
If you're feeling ill and you're going to the doctor, you know, like the walk-in clinic.
Yeah.
We grew up walking in there and everyone's and they're bumping wounds and bleeding and shit.
Yes.
You know, that I feel like, yes, we're explicit. I feel like they should have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Granted, you're already sick, but my mom, who wasn't sick, was taking me into the clinic. There should just be masks going into the waiting room. And when you get back to the room, well, they should be sanitized after every patient anyway, right?
Yeah.
So then you should take your mask off when you're seeing your doctor. But as a doctor, do you think they're going to make you guys wear masks forever?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. No, because there's already talk of there being masks, being depending on the situation you're in, you would wear a mask. You'd have a mask if you're in a group of unvaccinated people.
But how do you know? How do you know who's unvaccinated?
Well, it's
you can't ask.
Not in our state, no. Isn't that
a HIPAA violation?
Vaccine status is a protected class now.
Yeah. So how are you ever going
to
know?
You're not allowed to ask if somebody, you know. You're not allowed to.
No, just like your employer can't.
Your employer can't do that. No, you can't require vaccination. But
is your employer requiring the vaccination?
No, you can't. No employer can require that in this state.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, but I think masks are a good idea.
Yeah.
For the people who are sick.
100% masks.
That's,
should, yes.
That's where I think they're.
And
a good idea.
To go on that.
Because you want to spray your sickness everywhere.
To go
come on, I felt like that since I was about 5 years old.
Yeah, well, let's just be.
I'm a germaphobe.
Many people are. I mean, that's how germs spread.
And I'm a doctor.
Granted, that's how you build immunity, right? By getting
sick. Yeah, you want.
What I have felt strongly about since before this started is the elderly people who are more susceptible should probably wear a mask if they're out of the store.
Potentially.
But that should be up to everybody.
Yeah.
You want to wear a mask to not get sick? Great, wear one.
I'm very, this is free America.
Yeah.
If you want to wear 1,000%. You should definitely wear your mask.
1,000%.
I think that if you're sick, you should stay home or wear a mask.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah. So now that we got the mask talk and the pandemic out of the way, we're not
out of the way of my beard.
We're not going to. Yeah, exactly. That's the next thing.
That's the sad part. But my beard, I still like it.
Did you get the wave?
What's the wave?
Well, the indent from your
mask. Yeah, yeah. How did you know about that? Was that a big thing people were talking about?
Well, dude, I had a 10-inch beard forever.
Yeah. Oh, I hated it.
That sucked.
The wave, just that indentation
of
the mask.
Yes, that was horrible.
And then my beard had this terrible look.
Hindsight being 2020, I should have manufactured big, huge, long mask that hung down past your beard.
Or to hold the beard. I've seen those, actually.
Yeah. Like a regardless, we're past that at least. But, dude, that did play into sometimes not maintaining my beard a few days.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Like, because it just didn't matter. It wasn't.
No.
Yeah. And, of course, you never want to put too much oil in your
beard. I don't have anyone to show off to. You know, I don't have to look good because I got to wear a mask.
I'll have to say that was one thing that did cross my mind. I got a little less excited about my beard oils because nobody was going to see it looking shiny and.
1,000%, dude.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to be seen. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I might as well not put polish in, especially the beard balm. Not going to use that.
I don't ever think the oil got in the way of soaking into the mask. I don't drench my beard in oil.
Sure.
Although sometimes I feel like I would love doing
it. Well, I always tell guys it's all up to the user. But
how much you want to put in?
Couple drops go so far. Like your length, which is 3 inches, dude, like 5 drops. 6.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Or right onto your skin or in your palm of your hand and rub it in.
I like it.
Tell people to use both.
You know, sometimes, and I don't know if this is one of the, Beard Mountain approved uses of your beard oil, but sometimes I put a few drops on my hands.
That's what I tell people to do with the residuals, rub it through your hair.
Yeah, just kind of stroke
dude,
it through,
for your
through
skin.
My hair. Yeah, because it really just makes the hair look shiny. And
95% for your skin, 5% for the actual hair. You know, the hydration does help with making your hair look shiny and soft, but the skin is where the game is played. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, I see a lot of guys put beard oil on and they never rub it down into their cheeks. So, although their beard's looking good, I can't imagine the dry skin they have underneath.
No, I know. Yeah, that's what it really, really helps me with, I think, too. Is I can tell when I haven't maintained it with enough oil.
Sure.
You know, because it's just my skin gets a little flaky.
Yeah.
Under there.
Oh, and it happens in just a few days.
Yeah.
You know, we've been really hot lately here, you know.
And also, if you don't wash it.
Yeah.
If you don't actually wash it regularly, you have to... Yeah, you have to put the oil in. You have to get all that. But you have to wash it. You have to get the skin cells
for sure
off. You know everything.
Yeah, of course.
Recycled out, and then of course reapply the oil.
Yeah,
you have to wash.
And we tell guys to use our shampoo only 2 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, because you can over shampoo stuff. You know, like that's the thing with
dermatology.
Your skin can be too clean, right?
That I'm not sure about. Not too clean, but like you can wash your skin as much as you want. Wash and wash and wash as long as you're moisturizing your skin as soon as you're done washing. Not being too harsh.
So if you're using shampoo every day, but you're not putting lotion on, that is detrimental to your skin.
If it's a very harsh, you know, shampoo, something is very harsh.
It's a good stripper.
Yeah. If it's really good at taking the oils out, you've got to replace that oil.
Sure.
All right. Because the wash, you're taking out old oils. You're taking dead skin, dirt, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and if it's a gentle cleanser, you know, you're not leaching out too many of the oils, but otherwise if it's a really strong one, you got to replace those.
So like I said, the Beards Next Door podcast, we talk about all facets of life, right? So what are your other hobbies aside from being a doctor? Do you have any extra time for another hobby aside from taking care of your immaculate beard and being a doctor? What else are we doing while keeping your beard looking nice?
Well, I try to take care of my kids. I've got 5 kids.
Wow.
So
five kids.
They're busy, 5 kids.
That's why you're a doctor.
Yeah, well.
Got to be able to afford 5 kids.
I had all these kids. I'm like, what am I going to do now? Well, I better go be a doctor.
Yeah, up until 2 years ago, one was flipping burgers.
I was.
At Burger King.
Actually, my daughter, about 2 years ago,
that's cool.
That, she did say to me, Dad, when are you going to get a real job? Like, work at McDonald's or something.
Wow, if they only knew you'd been in school for the last 14 years.
She didn't realize that me going to work, you know, training to be a doctor was a job.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. She wanted to see me at a store, see me at my place of work.
You can't go visit your – You can't
go visit Dad in the hospital.
My dad's been a diesel mechanic my whole life, so, like, when we go visit Dad, it's like, you go into the shop. Yeah. You go to his work and you go, ah.
Yeah.
The doctors, like, do the families come in?
Not generally, no.
See them? You don't especially wanna, now, right? They don't have especially now. They don't let extra people in to just fucking meander around, right?
No.
You know?
No, it's true.
Yeah.
No, but I like, with my kids, you know, we like to, shoot. We like to go shooting at the range, 17 mile.
Ooh.
It's a lot of fun. Some outdoor shooting.
Firearms.
Firearms, yes.
We support those in Montana, obviously.
Yes, we do. Yes, and I,
you can get behind that.
I used to have a lot of them, but then they got, most of them, except for just one, got lost in a boating accident.
Oh, darn. I hate when that happens.
I know, me too.
Bummer.
When I did have them, it was a lot of fun to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank God you lost them all, because we hardly have any ammunition.
That's true. What's
can't
going
find
on
shit.
That? Yes. And, I was at Shields the other day. Can I say that on this?
Yeah, sure.
They had some...
It's a public place.
Ammo cans of 5.56.
Oh.
Green tip. 420 of them for $420.
Did you buy them?
No.
A buck around. That seems high.
It does seem high. But that's what it's been online.
Damn. How can you afford... How can people afford to just go Target shoot... At a buck a round, and if okay, say you're not target shooting, but you still afford that. What are you doing with the? I'm all for people
defending
having,
freedom. Tim.
That's
they're defending
fine.
Freedom.
But what the? 400 rounds seems like a lot.
$1 a round, yeah. Well, I will have to say that I thought that I'd start seeing that in the stores because for the last roughly year online, I've been seeing the prices go from about. High 70s to low 90 cents per round.
Jeez.
And then finally, then easily, about $1 per round. And now seeing that in the store, I'm like, oh, that's just.
Of course, yeah.
They're just gonna go up. Nobody wanted to buy. Nobody that I saw there. Everyone's like looking at the price and mocking.
Yeah, of course, AR ammo is. I don't think is ever gonna come back down. But even something so universal as 9mm, like it's barren.
I haven't seen it anywhere.
It's non-existent. It's not on anyone's shelves. Like the
hollow
weirdest
point for like $1.70 around.
Yeah, and the shitty ass aluminum cased 40 ammo I've seen at Cabela's, but that's garbage. Nobody with a decent firearm is shooting aluminum. At least that's what I was always taught.
Where's that polymer ammo I bought you?
I think Sutton.
I fired that. Actually, it doesn't have as much recoil.
Oh really?
Yeah, you can detect the difference between that and forget the name of it.
Hmm.
But we shot a few rounds of that off a couple weekends ago. My son and I, we shot a couple rounds of nine. We're trying to conserve our ammo, but
yeah,
we shot that's all I have left is a 9mm Glock after the boating accident.
Jeez.
But anyway, we shot that. There was a little bit less recoil with that. It felt pretty good.
Dang.
Good accuracy.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, it's pretty nice.
Okay, so firearms.
Firearms. We love shooting.
See, I do too.
Or we used to love it so much.
I as well have a single pistol. It's a 45.
Ooh.
Mine's a Glock.
Nice.
I do not fire it, excuse me, very often at all, simply because I don't want to afford to go out there. You know, I really don't have the extra time either.
And ammo's expensive. 45 ammo is really expensive.
Yeah, seriously. It is. I should have kept my 40 instead of my 45, because I did a swap. So I used to have a 9mm too, but that was just a high point. Everyone has their own opinion about high points. So the $100 Father's Day special, you get a pistol for $100. It's like, this thing weighs 14 pounds. What the hell kind of... Handheld firearm is this shit, right? It's one of those things, right? Are you into hunting?
I have always wanted to go hunting. I've never been hunting. I've done everything else with, the deer afterwards, but I've never.
Ugh, yuck. That's one thing is I have lived my whole life in Montana.
Have you hunted?
Never been hunting.
We have to go.
I didn't shoot a gun. I didn't shoot a gun until I was like 20 years old. My friends just took me out to the field, and I just shot a rifle at a bush just because they mocked me for – they grew up in small-town Montana where you shoot shit every weekend, I'm just never into that. I grew up turning wrenches with my dad,
Yeah.
We grew up in the garage, not in the woods. it's one of those things, you know, like working on cars and stuff. So, but yeah, I've never hunted. I kind of want to go out for one, but I feel guilty.
Why?
See the dead animal. I hate deer. I hate deer. They're the dumbest shitheads in the world because they jump out in front of cars for no reason and they cost people lives when they don't actually have to cross the road. So I could care less if deer die.
Well, my parents
don't come after me, you animal lovers, but I could give a shit about deer.
The PETA.
Yeah, but dude, like skinning it and gutting, I have no desire to watch that. That makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, it'll be hard for you to hunt then.
I'm fine seeing blood, but that makes, like, oh, you cut into their intestine, you can smell it. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you will.
That makes me want to throw up.
When I was younger, my parents used to.
Yeah, they field dress this shit? No way, man. I'm not doing that. You pack it out on bloody ass meat? No. That seems horrible.
We used to have pig roasts, but they'd be in town residential.
Like, so my build the big cinder block things?
Well, basically, yeah, this big old witch's cauldron looking thing to cook the meat in and everything. And they used to bring the pig, you know, from a farmer they'd buy it from, and then you could hear that pig coming from, like, a mile away.
Oh, it was still alive?
Oh, yeah. So it was squealing and squealing. Like, oh, here comes Dad with the pig.
And just take a hammer.
The back of the truck. Well, oh, no. Yeah. So then, you know, pull it up in, and it's probably illegal to do this, but, you know, then they'd shoot it in the head with a pistol, you know, and kill it right there on the spot. And that poor little pig, big pig, I'd watch it as they, you know, would bleed it out and collect the blood and look at it as the life is draining from him and the blood and feel so sorry for him. And then at the same time think, you are going to taste so good later.
Yeah, bacon. Let's talk. Bacon, I mean, come on, be real. Bacon is so good.
Oh, yes. Well, pork rinds. Have you had real pork rinds? From?
No, I've seen them at the gas station.
Straight from the pig. No, not those. Not the ones you buy. Not
the
those.
Bag
We're
of
talking
pork,
about the real
the microwave pork rinds.
Pork rinds. It's like the thick skin of the pig.
No.
Fried up hard and crispy and fluffy.
I accidentally ate a Rocky Mountain oyster once, but vomited.
Mm, I probably would, too.
I thought it was like a scalloped potato type thing.
Did it taste bad?
It tastes like shit.
Wow. And yeah. I
bet. It was someone's nut. Well, that sounds horrible. You know? Why don't I eat that?
No.
No, but for real, yeah. I never hunted ever. It just wasn't our thing. And I don't like the taste of venison.
My friends, even my
wife likes it. I'm like, why do you want to chew on something so grizzly? Like, yeah, I got to chew for 5 minutes just to bite through the shit. Like, that, it's not... Nah, I like cow.
I like cow too.
Yeah, for real.
But if it came down to survival,
I would survive on it.
I need a deer.
Yeah,
I would eat him all day long.
Now I will say a skill I regret not having is killing an animal in the wild and finding the meat off of it and cooking it over a fire. Yes. Like you see the guy stranded after a plane crash or some shit, and they kill the deer and
you
they get
would
the
find
meat.
A way.
What's the meat?
It's the muscle.
I don't know what muscle looks like.
You've seen steak.
Yeah.
That's muscle.
Okay.
You'd find it. No, you'd find it.
Right under the skin, I guess.
It's right under the skin.
Okay.
I'll teach you.
Yeah. Well, we'll go kill a deer. Well, we have to get a tag, right?
We have to get a license, yes.
Never took hunter safety.
The worst growing up was when my dad had used up his deer for the season, and we were driving home.
That son of a bitch is on the road!
There was a dead deer on the road that was not there on the way to the city, but was there on the way back home from the city. And you better bet my dad pulled over because he wanted it.
Well, yeah, we here in Montana, we can take the dead animals without using a tag. You can just
he ended up having to call the state patrol, which just so happened to be right there.
Dang.
Like, right there on the highway.
It was a setup. It was a decoy.
Called them over. Lights are going. They're loading up the deer into the trunk and
of your car?
Of the car, and you better bet I was hiding in the back seat so that no one would see me there.
Why,
My dad picking up roadkill.
Why did you have to hide?
Because my dad was picking up roadkill.
So? What were the cops going to care that
when
it was
you're
a kid?
Like a kid in junior high, that's like the most embarrassing thing that can happen.
But it's just a cop. It's not like a kid you went to school with.
Well, no, but there are people driving along the highway. You weren't there. You don't understand.
Oh, there's one. His dad's getting that dead beaver again.
Yeah, no, that was mortifying, but he ended up getting like three deer that year somehow.
Dang.
I think there were two roadkill deers in there.
Sure. Nice. We just
we had a lot. We ate a lot.
You just incriminated him.
We ate, that was so many years ago.
Yeah.
And we don't even know what state we're talking about.
Exactly. Could be Pakistan.
Could have been.
I don't know if they have deer over there. Do they have deer in Pakistan? I don't know.
They have camels.
Yeah.
True. Wild camels.
People eat camels?
I don't think they eat them. They ride on them.
Well, yeah, but we ride. We don't eat horses, I guess.
You eat horse if you're starving.
I don't think that's a delicacy in any country, is it?
I don't know.
You know?
Some countries eat cats and dogs.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
So, it's weird. That's another thing. I'm not into weird foods. You know, like, do you eat sushi?
I do eat sushi.
My wife eats sushi.
No, but it's vegetarian sushi, which it's considered sushi, but it's not raw fish.
Why? No, rolled up. Is that a personal choice? Or?
Mostly because I don't want to get any parasites.
Right? Okay. Thank you for saying that. My wife eats all sorts of shit from, like, sushi from Albertsons and Sam Clubs. It looks good, but there's it's crab. She gets the ones with crab in them. And I'm like, you're not afraid of that being not cooked?
That's imitation crab. It's fish.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is cooked.
Oh, it is?
It's like pink. Yeah, it's got the red. Yeah, that's imitation crab.
They're California rolls is what she eats all the time. Just from
Albertsons. That's cooked fish, at least.
Okay. So she's probably safe.
She's probably safe.
Okay.
But my kids like sushi with the raw fish. I can't stand
that. Oh, and you let them
Well, eat I've that? Eaten it before. I just don't do it very often.
I just...
The last time I did it was probably 8 years ago.
I honestly just have no desire.
With my friend Chuck.
All right. Chuck?
Chuck.
Did you up Chuck after you ate this?
No, I didn't. But sushi? I had too much sake with him.
Oh, sake. Sake's
warm
gross.
Sake.
Sake's gross to me.
I thought it would be.
That's disgusting.
But after the first
like at the
two,
hibachi grill,
you
the guy's
don't care
like,
anymore.
Sake, you know, and he's spraying it into your face, and it's like, oh, I gotta one-up these guys. And I was like, that's just disgusting. I'm not gonna drink that.
It was good. I'd never had warm sake until we went out and had sushi together.
Yuck. Did you sit at hibachi?
What's that?
The actual live grill.
Oh, no.
You know?
No, it was a sushi place.
Oh, okay.
Back home in the Midwest.
All right.
And it was pretty damn good sushi.
How's Montana compared to where you grew up?
You know, I liked Montana because it reminded me of where I grew up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mountains and trees and state parks close by?
Well, no, more of the culture, the people.
All right.
The people reminded me of being in the Midwest. Which, is this the Midwest? Do people think of this as the Midwest?
I call us Northwest, to be honest.
Okay. Because I've heard a lot of people calling.
You know,
I've asked people, you know, where did you grow up? I grew up in the Midwest. Oh, so did I. And they grew up here. I'm like, oh.
Midwest, I would call Wyoming and Colorado.
Midwest?
That's the Midwest, ain't it?
Okay. I don't know. I always thought Iowa and Minnesota were the Midwest. That's where I grew up.
Maybe that is. Well, we got to be the Northwest then.
I think this is probably the Midwest also.
Because
somebody has.
I was on the west side of the Mississippi, right? Or is it on
True.
The east side of Mississippi?
No, it's on the west.
Okay, so you would be Midwest then, I guess.
And you would be
Northwest.
We would here be Midwest then as well.
Yeah, because we're.
We still, have to find an authoritative source. On
well, we're still a state and a half away from the coast.
That's true.
You
but
know?
But the culture here is much.
I agree. Yeah,
like
we're not west. We're not the west.
No, it felt like
we are not like California.
Yeah, it felt like where I grew up in Iowa and southern Minnesota felt like that. So I liked it here as soon as I got. You know, I really liked it here a lot because when we got off the plane to land here, there were all these people that had cowboy boots and cowboy hats and the jeans and the big buckle and everything. And that's how my dad would dress on the weekend. You know, after work. He's a rancher guy.
Oh, really?
A ranch in Mexico. Yeah, and that's what he looked like. On the weekends, when he wasn't working, that's what he wore. Really nice cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And shirt, the jeans, the big buckle boots. And I saw so many people dressed like that when I interviewed here. And I thought, I turned to my wife and said, I love it. That's the first thing I said when I got off the plane. Was, I love it here.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So
and walked around downtown. There were all these guys looking like cowboys. And I'm like, what? I've never seen a place like this. I felt so, I don't know. I just liked it a lot. Felt at home. People were nice. And then when I moved here, I thought, where the hell are all the cowboys? There is no one walking around.
Rodeo must have been in town.
That's what everyone told me. Rodeo must have been in town.
Yeah. Because it's not that common, honestly.
No. Yeah.
I mean, of course, we got real big, huge ranches a couple miles out of town, hours out of town, but it's not that common.
Yeah. No, so it was kind of like a lie.
Sure.
You know, Billings lied to me.
Maybe it was a ploy to get you here. Maybe. But did you guys have a ranch?
My dad does in Mexico. Him and his brother.
Does?
Yeah, they have a ranch in Mexico.
Like, they currently own one?
Yeah.
What's on the ranch?
Cows.
Is it big?
Horses. You know, I was going to go see it with them one day, and we were driving up the mountain to go there. And, you know, you drive to Mexico, it's like a big plain, you know, and then there's this range of mountains, and you drive up there, and you almost die because the roads are so, you know, thin or narrow.
Yeah.
You got to pass a bus. Somebody's got to pull up halfway on the mountain, and the other person passes around. And you're driving this big plain again, and there's another range of mountains, and you keep going up and up and up. And I don't even know how many feet of elevation we were at. And finally, we're going up this mountain, and the gravel was about like the size of your fist. Okay.
Yeah. Like, rocks.
Yeah, rocks. That's the gravel for the road. And so the truck we were in just couldn't do it anymore. And so we just had to foot it the rest of the way. We had to hoof it. Well, I was going and going.
Are you a kid at this point?
I was probably 18, 17.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So peak prime condition.
Yeah.
Physique.
Yeah.
All right. Probably not. Sure. But anyway, so I'm just out of breath. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just going. I've been walking so long. I just can't take it anymore. I'm out of breath. I'm trying to talk to my dad and, you know, trying to make it look like I'm not out of breath, but it's just, I can't hide it anymore. It's just such thin oxygen air. And he looks at me just very ashamed, I think. And he says,
there is the pussy.
Pretty much. He says, you can go back to the truck. And I'm like, oh, good. Oh, but I got to walk all the way back to the truck, and I turn around, and it's probably not even 100 feet away.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so steep.
Uh-huh.
It was so hard, and I was just then when I looked and I saw the truck so close, I felt even more ashamed than when my dad looked at me. So I never got to see the ranch.
But it's big. Like, are we talking?
We're talking like it's a mountain. Like, it's on the top of this mountain. It's like the whole mountain.
Okay.
Him and his brother own.
And he lives in the United States.
Yeah.
Lives. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
His uncle and his brother. Yeah, the three of them own and manage it.
Huh. That's weird. Yo. So is he a dual citizen?
He's not a citizen of the United States. He's a permanent resident.
Okay.
Yes. Thank Chuck Grassley.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day, Chuck Grassley.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Helped out.
Sweet. That's sweet. Owns a ranch in Mexico. You're lying. He's a cartel member. We know. That's what's going on the ranch, I'm sure.
That's true. You caught me.
He knew Pablo.
Secretly, they're international gun smugglers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And 1,000%.
So am I. I'm just in a sleeper cell.
Yeah. It's like that movie, American Ultra, where they haven't activated you yet.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for activation.
Exactly. Somebody will just come by and go, and click, and you're up.
Because there are many of those from Mexico.
Yeah, why would we? Yeah. They're worried about us up here. Yeah. What about Texas building their own wall? Did you see that on the news?
They were going to finish their own wall.
They're going to build their own. The governor was literally like, we're building our
own. There's this like nice, big, beautiful wall, and then all of a sudden, boom, it ends.
Yeah, I know. There's a construction stop, and he's like, no, F that. We're finishing it.
Yeah. So imagine if you're coming across and you're like, oh, how am I going to get over this wall? And boom.
Yeah. No, I can just imagine the opening credits of a guy. Oh, honey, I've reached the end. And he gets over the top and she's like, you're a dumbass. And she walks around the end and just walks on the ground.
Oh, the wall.
That'd be kind of funny.
Do we do talk of controversy here? The wall?
What about it? We talk about anything here. Not a lot of politics, of course.
No,
but
no. We don't.
What about the wall?
What about the wall? Well, we need walls to hold up ceilings.
You know, if you're asking my opinion on walls on our borders, I think that the problem is the idea of people actually seeing the wall is an issue.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it goes towards people immediately jumping to racism and, oh, we don't like that race over there. And it's like, no, we're trying to keep our country safe because we have had problems for decades of people getting into the country illegally, making money here illegally, and that money isn't coming back into our economy, in my opinion. A bigger problem is the terrorists getting into our country
and the coronavirus
and blowing shut up. you're killing people. You know, how many terrorists have been in our country because they've been not an immigrant, I don't want to use that term, but they've just illegally came in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A refugee. You know, that's totally different because, you know, whether you like it or not, those, you know, people had nowhere to go. But as far as the wall, I think it's fine. I don't know what other countries have, though. Like, in Europe.
Don't either.
So, okay, we're a continent.
Is there a wall between here and Canada?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. That's another thing is, like, where do we draw the line? How come there's one between Mexico?
Well, there is a line. It's been drawn.
Exactly, but there's a line between Mexico. Is that because they're a poorer country than Canada?
I think they're trying to stop a lot of the drug trade.
If that's it, too, is we're not getting, you know, Colombian cocaine from Canada. You know, we're getting hockey.
My wife would disagree with you there. She thinks a lot of the Colombian stuff is coming through.
Maybe it is. I have no idea. How are we ever going to know? I mean,
we need
if I was a drug lord, I would go the path least traveled, too. You know, well, they're never going to suspect us. Let's tell them we're going through Canada.
Yeah.
Who's going to go through Canada?
They could have drone surveillance. Yeah. They probably have a lot of drone surveillance.
Agreed. Yeah. And maybe there is a wall on the Canadian border. I've never been out of the country. So
I don't think there is. There's a fence, probably.
Yeah, are we just talking a 6-foot chain link fence?
I don't even think that much.
But I mean, look at the news. How often have you seen stories about Canadians trying to get in?
There's a town in Montana where there's a kind of a crossover. If you go look at it on the Google Maps, it's like this town is almost like split.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
What was it called?
I don't know. I don't know the name of it. I just looked it up on Google Maps and. It's weird because, yeah, it's like this town and it's just right there on the border.
We'll have to research that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Huh.
That's pretty cool.
That's sweet. But, yeah, as far as, like, what's your opinion on the wall?
On the wall?
Or a wall?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's a good idea to have some protection against the malfeasance that can come through.
I mean.
And I think that people should, I think we should welcome immigrants to the country. But, you know, people go through the process different ways. And
1,000%. And it doesn't help that the media focuses on showing us children. Yeah. Immigrants. You know?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. A poor kid wants to, you know, has a dream of bettering his life in the United States. That's fine. It's the adults that are the issue.
Did you see the video of those kids that got thrown over the fence?
No.
Yeah, they just dropped off these... Two little girls. Literally, they just dropped them from the top of the fence and just ran away.
Well, you want a better life for your kid?
5-6 year old girl, something like that. They bounced or something. It was just really sad.
I don't know what's going to happen to the children over here.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to be fine now.
That is crazy to think. I mean, think of all the people who are in our country right now, whether it be legally or illegally, who haven't seen their parents in like 50 years or 40 years.
Sure.
Because they're like, their parents told them, go to the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's what I tell my, not necessarily my wife, but whenever somebody's saying like, man, I'm having a bad day or, you know, my life sucks. I'm like, fuck that. You know how fortunate we are to be born and currently live in the United States of America?
I would have to say this is the best country in the world.
So many opportunities, you shitheads, and you're just not, lots of people just aren't taking advantage of the tools. You know?
Well, you know, you don't want to work hard.
Absolutely.
You're not going to really get anywhere.
I don't want to.
That's true. Actually, I don't really want to work hard, but I do, I think.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. Nobody wants to work hard.
No, I have a lot of...
You don't have to work. I have a lot of... Get paid. That would be great.
I have a lot of respect for doctors because... I mean, I do... My uncle has this theory that we made it thousands of years without doctors. Why the hell do we need them so bad
your uncle
now? Why do we need them so bad now? And I was like, I mean, you got a point, but
we've had doctors for thousands of years.
Yeah, but now that they're so expensive, you know, and you need...
That's true.
And you need, you know, like, his thing is like, the cavemen, they had to have had the flu. How did they survive as a species? I mean, that's fine.
He has a very good point.
Well, of course, and we know the Spanish flu killed, like,
millions.
Millions of people, of course. They have pandemics of their own.
And the Black Death.
But well, I do believe the humans as a species have gotten more like, oh, I've got a sniffly nose, you go to the doctor. I don't think people like that should be going to the doctor that often. These people, dude, back when they had knights and pirates and shit. People got stabbed with swords and knives and shit. Were they getting stitched up every single time, do you think?
Probably not if they died.
The people lived and they had a stab wound. I guarantee it. You can't tell me they didn't.
Well, there were probably more doctors.
Than you think. But back then, my point is back then, you only went to the doctor when you had your arm chopped off. You didn't go to the doctor when you had
if you had the sniffles, yes.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say we don't need allergists?
Oh, no. We need doctors now because I feel like we've declined immunal-wise. You know, we're not as strong.
I think us here in the audience feel like you're trying to say we don't need allergists.
If I could choose to eliminate one doctor, it would be an allergist, immunologist. Yes.
Now, that is actually a position that some people have, that we don't need allergists, immunologists.
No, I, for one, love allergies.
Well, for the reason
doctors,
being that
because I have a bad allergies here now. But, okay.
Well, because we take a little bit from everybody's line of work. You know?
Sure.
Pulmonologists can handle the asthma and COPD, the lung doctors.
Oh, okay.
The dermatologists can handle the hives and the, you know, the skin allergy problems.
Sure.
Chemical allergies. Then we can have ENT can handle a lot of the, you know, the nasal problems that the allergy testing we take care of. You know, they can do all that, the ear things that we might take care of.
Are there adult ear, nose, and throat doctors?
Yeah, there's pediatric and adult.
All right.
You know, and so, and then when it comes to drug allergy problems, you know, they say, well, the infectious disease doctors can handle this and other things.
Wow.
Like, I could go on and on, but you know, the fact of the matter is that, You know, those people just don't specialize in hypersensitivity allergy, and
1,000%
like we do, you know. And so, you know, it's fun to be an expert.
Oh yeah, believe me, we need doctors, and I thank God for allergy doctors all the time because I suffer from allergies.
How are you doing with yours lately? Are you getting better?
Yeah, the season.
No, there's HIPAA violation here if we're not careful.
The season. Luckily, the pollen I think is mostly on the way out.
Yeah.
All the trees have dropped all the shit, so I feel better. But, man, when the pollen flies and it looks like snow,
that's beautiful.
I can't breathe. I mean, I can breathe, but my nose is just a faucet. Like, it's like a bloody nose, and it's so annoying.
Nobody really knows how bad it is unless you have the allergies.
Literally. People who don't have allergies have no clue what having allergies is like.
No.
Your quality of life is... I hate it. I am so negative the days I'm having an allergy outburst or whatever you want to call it, a reaction to. And another thing that I cannot stand is my sinuses will be full, and you blow your nose, and the tissue's full of mucus and stuff, right?
Oh, that's horrible.
How the hell are your sinuses that long that they just immediately regenerate that much more yellow shit?
Yeah.
How? Why do I have to blow my nose, and I feel like I get a mile of boogers out? And then 10 minutes later, I do the same thing. How is it making that much more?
Your cells just produce mucus. That's just what they do. They're good at it.
That sucks.
Yeah, your sinuses are just probably full of it. You can only blow out so much at a time.
Yeah, I guess. That's why the neti pot really does work.
Yes, the neti pot is really good.
But I did make the mistake. You know how the neti pot comes with those little packets?
Yeah.
I made the mistake of, I ran out of packets. I can just use hot water.
Wait, you did not rinse yourself with hot water.
Warm. And it was straight from the tap.
So I'm very glad that I do tell my patients that they have to cool the water now before.
Oh, no, it wasn't hot at all.
Okay.
It was just like luke temperature, room temperature.
No, you don't want to do that. Tell us about your experience doing that.
Well, what I was getting at is when I didn't use the packet, it hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
It
That's why
really,
you need the saline.
I put the packet in, and I was like, this ain't bad. And the first time I ever did it, I could not believe the amount of crap I got out of my nose. Like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yes.
One thing I would like to learn is, should you only do it from one direction?
You want to do it from both.
Okay, so say I do it from both and I only get halfway and I do it from this. Isn't there the possibility that I – or are they two different sinuses?
No, it's one nasal passage.
Okay, so why do I want to do it from both? Why don't I just want to clean it from one side?
Because of the nasal turbinates.
Okay.
You want to rinse each sinus passage because the – you know, the fluid is going to go into the nasal passages on one side, and it's going to flow out the other nasal passage in a different direction. So you want to make sure the water is going in into the nasal passage on both sides, not just coming out of one.
Yeah.
into the other, because just it's the way the passages are formed. So it's you do want to do them on both.
Sure. But no, man, when I use the water without the saline,
no.
It fucking burned so bad. Burned. I was like, oh, it will. Oh, man, it hurt.
And you don't want to use tap water. Did you not know that?
Well, it says you're supposed to use distilled.
Distilled,
sorry.
Distilled water.
Yeah, I just use tap water.
Yes, you don't want to use tap water.
Is there too much chlorination in it?
Not at all. Nope. You want to know why?
Why?
Because there's potentially a brain-eating amoeba in the tap water that does not get killed by the water treatment plant.
So that's why you shouldn't drink it either?
No, you can drink it and it's fine. But if you get it into your nasal passages, it connects itself. It latches onto your olfactory nerve, which is your smell nerve in your nose.
Wow.
And then it has tropism for the brain, which means it wants to live in, or tropism for the nervous tissue. Yeah. So it wants to live in the brain and goes into the brain and just,
and there's
just has a buffet of brain.
There's cases of this happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Girls.
Yeah.
It's
it's a terrible preventable disease.
I could have risked my whole life doing that.
Yeah. When did you do your last rinse?
Oh, that was years ago when I used the tap.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I get these really bad headaches and I black out for hours. Is it? You think that's bad?
You have an amoeba.
Yeah. I call him Jimmy.
No, usually people die within a week or so of that.
Oh, that's rough. Can you imagine that? But no.
Well, it's really sad. It's really sad because, you know, you hear about somebody. It's usually somebody wakeboarding. It's usually somebody doing some forceful water activity.
Sure.
The water's forced up into the nasal passages and a week or two later they succumb after they finally figure out what's going on. But there have been a handful of survivors in the world.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But that's really rare. We're talking
surviving is very rare.
No, we're talking getting it is really rare.
That too.
Okay. I've kind of calmed down then.
Good.
Yeah.
Someone in Seattle died of that just, I don't know, a year or so ago.
Oh my God.
It was in the news.
That's rough.
That was terrible. I know, it was a very sad case.
That's rough. So, yeah. That is nuts.
A great way to end this podcast.
Yeah, for real. We'll end it on a brain eating amoeba.
Yeah.
But no, for real. But
I'm saving lives by telling people, if you rinse your nasal passages with tap water, stop.
Please
don't
stop.
Don't do it anymore.
Please
stop. If you're going to use tap water, you need to boil it for 15 minutes and then cool it down before using it.
So hot will like damage your...
You definitely don't want to rinse with boiling water in your nasal passages.
That sounds like a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea.
Okay, we'll take your word for it. You're a doctor. Yeah.
I learned that in medical school. No boiling water in the nose.
Wow, okay. That was an actual doctor. We need doctors. We need doctors.
No, that's not an actual thing.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. But no, so yeah. That was an enjoyable hour.
That was fun.
Yeah. Again, talking
shooting the breeze.
Talking to Dr. Juan. He's become a good friend. He'll be on the show quite often. We like to get his doctor's opinion. And I'm going to talk him into doing more actual hard research on the benefits from essential oils on your skin. You know, we can get into respiratory too.
Since
you are smelling it.
All right.
What?
Sorry, we're going to have to end it on this. I just got a text message from the government.
Oh, no.
I'm contacting you on behalf of the NCDHHS, whatever that is. COVID-19 vaccines are now available to anyone 12 and up.
Cool.
Exclamation point. If you are 18 or older and receive at least one shot of vaccine, you're entered for a chance to win $1 million. Get your shot now. COVID-19.ncdhhs.gov/SVC or call 888-675.
Hey, don't get us taken down because of violation here.
4567.
They're giving people a million. They're offering people the chance to win $1 million.
I guess so. I'm going to have to fact check this, but it looks legit to me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're not going to even dive into that topic.
Wow.
Maybe someday. But regardless, Dr. Juan, thank you so much for being here. I forgot to say that this episode is sponsored by our very own original beard oil. It's our longest, it's our oldest scent.
The OG.
It's the OG. We like to call it the OG. It's our most potent. It's a cup of coffee for your face in the morning. You put it on and it just sucks right up into your sinuses. That aroma, nothing beats that. So sponsored by that. You can find it on our website, beardmountain.com. Again, this is the Beards Next Door podcast presented by beardmountain.com. I am Tim. again with Dr. Juan, and we are over and out. Dr. Juan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.